other daughter.
You'll remember Madeline.
Harriet Hill. Madeline married Irwin Wright. Madeline Hill married Irwin Wright.
And then they moved to Las Vegas, I think, the last time.
Well, something like that. But they came to live with Mr. and Mrs. Lewis, that lived in the house where the hotel was built.
Yeah, right there. That's where they lived.
I never knew what happened to Mr. Hill. Why?
And then after that, Walter Stevens's mother had that. I don't know if she rented it or not, but she ran a boarding house there for a while. Then when they built the hotel, they tore it down.
That's right.
They tore down this big house over here that's back in there.
Yes.
And Dick had that, you know, and sold it to the Union Oil Company.
That's right.
The Union Oil Company built a little pumping station out here. And
that's right.
And they tore down that big house.
And Dick dedicated that alley in there to the city just about the time that we built the service station. I've got the whole thing down. You know, you talk
about... Yeah, I don't know where I was about the time... Well, about the time you...
In 24.
That's the time you...
We built the service station.
Built the service station. It's after...
We built it before Stevens.
Yeah.
Stevens came afterwards.
It wasn't too long after Merton came home from the Army.
Well, yes, but...
a few years. You built that big house up there to start with, the Cross Powder.
It was about 1920.
Yeah.
And then after he was...
And I don't know, you lived there until about 1936.
No. We lived in 33.
You come back here.
We came back in summer.
I forget who lives in that, and then... At West Park there, I know we had sold it to Merton or Lon, his dad, and then Lon turned it back to us in 36. And we traded it for that Townley stuff.
I'll tell you one thing, this has made me write down
one time I asked you if you had the abstract for the place that you bought down the old Hall Ranch. And in reading my father's account,
he had the fire for the big barn is, and I think 80 acres out to the highway.
And then we sold it
to Benson's.
No.
Didn't you?
Maybe you
sold it to the sugar company.
We sold it to the sugar company. Amalgamated Sugar Company of Utah.
But the sugar company didn't, Benson's had to buy it from G.F. Hall.
Yes.
They bought some from G.F. Hall.
From the Hall brothers.
But the sugar company owns the part there where
you told me you thought you had the abstract for that.
Where Bill Davis and them had it lived, and the Black and that sugar company had that, and I don't know whether they owned the part there where the big barn is or not. But they had their scales right there, and the railroad come right through there, you know.
That's right.
I think I got them deeds over there, Elmer, or something about the...
You told me that one day that you
stuff that...
You would look it up and see if you had the abstract.
But you asked me once if I had them deeds, you know, and I got a whole basket full of deeds there, and I'm pretty sure there's
I asked you if you had
one deeds. There from G.F. Hall.
Yeah. It was either G.F. Hall or Hall Brothers, and I don't know where it was.
Well, it was Frank. That was Frank Hall, and
that's right, Frank.
And then there was another brother who had some land up here in High Valley that joined on to us.
That was the Ames place. The old Ames.
We never did get that land, but we always tried to get it because it, well, we come there and all we had is a roadway to go through there from one property to the other.
No.
Do you know how many?
And I think that went to that pony camp outfit.
You went right through the, like you went to Stromville, you just up to Stromville's house. You turned off that way and then went around the hill back into the place of Uncle George.
I know, I got the, someplace over there too, I got the, all that stuff about that ranch in North Powder that
Jerry doesn't have that part of it.
Curtains dad and when we sold it and stuff.
Okay, this then was
it's a big thick stuff. It's got all the stuff that goes clear back to the
Frank Davis.
Did the government
1800s or early 1800s?
That there'd be no pictures.
People that owned that land, different parts of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I got some of them there from Modon, about 4 inches thick.
Haven't even got it on Lottie. Lottie's the only one that's buried out here. The others were buried in Wisconsin.
I found the print for the talked about spatially. The plate, that a dead Moses was put down there in the trunk.
I'd been smart. When I was a kid, I wrote everything down that I heard.
Okay,
a person should have.
I've got one picture.
But at that time, you didn't think anything about it.
No.
Had shoulders and had bodies. And then a bruise.
Now.
Did you ask Pete Bond anything about the last roundup or anything like this when they're moving cattle?
This is the history. Now, wait a minute. Let's move your chair up closer. You step up a step. No, I want you to step up a step. Let me move your chair in. I need to sit down.
George Francis Hall.
Now, wait a minute.
I thought his name was Frank.
It is Frank. Yeah. It is Francis. Now, wait a minute.
Just before we left over there, he said maybe bring that up.
What's this, the history of Oregon?
Yeah. Here it says, in February 1897, they bought from the Ainsworth National Bank in Portland the Nodine Ranch. Old Fred Nodine owned it to begin with.
Nodine had that.
Uh-huh.
He had all that, Nodine and Shirley.
Yeah, but then after they began selling small tracts of their holdings from the main body to the Amalgamated Sugar Company. See. But they bought it when Nodine was having financial troubles and owed the bank so much money. They bought it directly from the bank.
The trouble was Nodine, he had some boys that didn't know the value of money.
Well, lots of people are like that. We have that, those kids not.
I have that trouble too. I got a lot of relatives that don't know what money is.
No, but they know if some people got it, they'd like to have it.
I know it. They're trying to all time. Well, this is kind of...
Well, listen. Let me show you one thing else. And then I'll go back to Jerry.
No. Would you tell Elmer something about how you used to ship the cattle and... from the ranch, didn't you ship from Hot Lake? Car them there at Hot Lake? Wasn't that the way you used to do it? Ship them to
we shipped from Union Junction to start with.
Shipped them from Union Junction.
After along in 36 or something, old Dan Clark, remember Dan Clark?
Yeah,
he was on the railroad. He was the head of this railroad ship of
OWR.
We drove a bunch of steers down from North Powder, and that's what the first year, I think we had that ranch back in North Powder, and we drove them down and stayed at Pierce's that night, and then come on home, And Dan Clark come out there, after coming there, he's got a friend of George's, and he says, how would you like to have a stockyards at Hot Lake? And I said, it would really be convenient. And he built them stockyards at Hot Lake.
And sometimes the producer would go in the boxcar or in the caboose to Portland with the cattle, and sometimes the fellow that bought them would take them.
That's the way Erman Hall, my brother Erman.
I went to school with him.
Yeah. But he used to ride back to wherever Uncle Ed Miller sold his sheep. Anyway.
And did you ever go and play poker on the way down and so on and so forth?
Don't think so.
You never did that. Well, now say something about Benson's Commission Company was a cousin to these Bensons, or
old Tom Benson, the head, the first one, mm-hmm. started the Commission Company. He was a cousin of Dixon, Sam, and George, my mother, and then Art was his son, and then Guy was took it over when Art died.
I see.
And then Guy died, and I they haven't got any Benson Commission Company there anymore.
You have anything in mind how long they were in the commission business in Portland?
Well, I never knew. I saw Tom Benson. He used to drive from Portland up here in a buggy buying cattle, and he'd come clear into here. And he'd stay around with the Bensons a while and buy cattle around here. He was buying just a cattle buyer, see?
Yeah.
He'd ship them, take them to Portland, and then sell them.
Cole Dodd used to ship
that was, them. That must have been the early 1900s.
Yeah. And Dad used to go down with a carload of hogs or a carload of cattle.
Hogs was the time that my dad never did go down, I don't think, on the stock train when they was in the gutter. No. Your dad would always go to Portland.
Yeah, I don't remember your dad, but I know.
And I'll tell you what your dad do. He'd spend all his time, as he went out to the stockyards, down to Jake's eating crawfish.
Yeah. Ed Coles, he'd say, well,
come on after that.
They always wanted to buy them.
Yeah. Ed Coles, and after, as long as I can remember, why most of the hogs was sold to Coles and Dodd.
Yeah.
And they had thousands. But you was on that drive once when we drove over 1,000 head of hogs and bought them from Old Ames and all these people down here. They bought over 1,000 and drove them up there, and your dad was driving, your dad drives the team.
Yeah.
And Sherry Shelton was with us, and you and I, we slept upstairs in the
Wolf House.
The Wolf House. Of the, and we all ate mutton and all got sick.
He's going to tell that story in his book. He's got it all written out.
Has he?
Yes.
Well, I got some on that.
But Sherry Shelton chasing the hogs out into the sagebrush, and the rest of us the hog would take away. And
forgotten about Sherry Shelton.
I remember Sherry was with us. There must have been I don't know who all was in that drive, Merton. I know your dad had the wagon.
And
you and I slept upstairs in the Wolf House that night.
Well, we both got sick. I remember that.
Now listen. I've
never liked mutton since.
Okay.
Now you didn't know that there's a whole story in here about Charles Davis, did you?
No.
All right. Here's Charles Elliott Davis, and he told this and this and this. Now, if you want to learn out something about the Davis family, I want you to read this. Okay?
I'd like to sometime.
You'd like to. I'm going to put this thing right in there so I'll know. Now.
I got a history of three volumes, great big volumes of the history of Oregon, but they haven't got anything in there about him.
Yes, they have.
It's Charles Elliott Davis, born in September 28, 1855, Camelsport, Wisconsin and came to Oregon in 1876.
My father was born in 1855, too.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
My mother was born on Halloween in 1864 and was married on Halloween.
Okay. Now, this is Jeff Hall, page 607. Right here. And then this is Charlie Davis back here.
There's a lot there that I don't know.
Why, sure there is.
Well, I can't. I haven't gotten reading last will, Mr. Elder.
You can read.
These are just plain glass, practically.
We have got a thing.
Okay, well, I didn't know if some of the other family.
I'll bring the glasses over someday.
Okay, you do that.
And read it. I wouldn't want to take it because some son of a gun might steal it. Well, I have a lot of trouble with that.
Isn't it the devil of the people help themselves to things that don't belong to them? Doesn't that make you mad?
What would you do if some of your relatives come there and stole some deeds and letters? Would you?
I'd put them in jail, damn it, I would.
Would you put
them? Oh, you bet I would. Just to make their heads swim.
Well, a person hates to do his relatives that
way. Oh, that's all right.
But they listen, deserve it.
They deserve it. Why did they take something that didn't belong to them? Then you wouldn't be any more guilty than
well,
they
I
were.
Well, I said I'm in open the safe. I got took some stuff out of my safe.
I'd had them in jail before this.
They ought to be in jail for the next 20 years.
Well, anyway, I'm going
to
leave this.
I don't know what they're up to. They're up to something when they do that.
Oh, I'd see if they didn't get that something. That's the way I feel.
That's what Ross Herring told me. He said, I'd cut them, and so did Al Peter. He said, I'd cut them off.
I would, too.
I might, too.
Well, anyway.
I want to make sure that it was them, but I know they was here when it happened, and they asked a lot of questions about things. And
well, when they want a lot of information, they went over and wanted to know where they could get a hold of Bob Davis. You know, when he tried to straighten up that Springs deal, it was none of their damn business, was it?
And two girls like they went through everything I had.
They went over this place where Melissa was doing business. Used her telephone to try to run Bob Davis.
Well, they went through my stuff and found out a lot of that stuff. I was trusting them, Elner, I didn't know. I didn't know they were crooked in there.
They weren't worthy of that.
When they did the worst thing is when I went to LeGrand one day and left them there for 3 hours.
Well, they must have had a good time.
And I guess they did. Well, Christ, a lot of things disappeared.
It wasn't any
of them. My Stockton bond book and the deed to the Fizz Spring.
Did you ever get them back? Did you ever get the things back
that
they took?
No, I'm going to. They've been back east here last month, and I'm going to.
No, but this has been 2 years ago that they started all this trouble.
Well, they started then, 2 years ago. But then, just last July, the last of July, the 1st of August, when this last thing happened. Mm-hmm. And two girls come up here.
I know it.
I never thought about it. I never thought about them. Well, hell, somebody either they got in the safe and I don't know and took a deed that added on Fizz Springs.
They
stole an insurance policy of personal articles and guns and stuff like that. They took a lot of stuff on the mine stuff. All I had left.
Can you answer this question? What can make people so nosy that they have to get into other people's business?
They can't do nothing with it. But it just caused the guy a lot of trouble.
It's been a couple of years since they went over to where Melissa's.
Yeah, they went over there and tried to raise hell.
Yeah, I know it.
And when they was up here in July, they got a lawyer and they went to Le Grand and doing something. He was here for something. I've never told anybody much about that, except I just hinted to Mr. Peters some things that's happened, and he said, well, and so did Ross Herring over there at Le Grand. He says, if they ever show up with some of that stuff, I will.
I know, but they won't show up with it. If they were so damned crooked that they went and took it, yeah, they're not going to show it up. Show
well,
up.
If I'd go and have them arrested, they'd probably, before I could get it, they'd have it burnt up. You know that.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, I didn't know there was that. I didn't know there was that crooked. Hell, I wake up at night and I got thinking about it.
You live and learn, don't you? You live and learn.
God, I woke up this morning about 5 o'clock and then I went back to sleep.
I know. I do that.
Got to thinking about. Trying to figure out what all they did get. As far as any stocks and things that I had in that safe, they didn't take them, but I think they took $400. I had my Social Security sometimes. I don't spend it, and I had $4,000 there in cash.
Why did you do that?
$400.
You know better than that.
I know it.
Well, why did you do that?
Because I didn't have no brains.
No, listen. You had them, you didn't use them.
But they didn't. They could have taken it all as far as that goes. But the only, was whoever it was, it took $400. I didn't. $400 packages. 10 of them.
Well.
Well, they wouldn't take them all because then it would have been.
Well, anyway, any day that you want to read this, over.
Yeah, I'll bring my glasses over. And I've never seen this.
You could take it home with you if you want
to. Oh, no, I wouldn't want to do that, Elmer.
Fear somebody come take it.
Some of the gun might come in and steal it. They would if they knew I had it.
Well, anyway.
I've always tried to deal with honest people, you know, and I don't know how to deal with crooks.
My dad had and something to say to all his kids. Be honest and work hard. Then someday you'll have something. We grew up with that. Be honest and work hard.
Well, that's the way I've grown up that way. If I'd done anything crooked when I was a kid, I've been beat to death.
You got your butt pedaled.
The nearest I ever come to that, Eleanor, was once when Ida Cooper lived right across the street from us. And she had a hen that come over on our land and laid an egg.
Uh-huh.
And I took this egg into the house.
Uh-huh.
And my mother, well, Jesus God, my dad, he chased me all along. He had to come home from the mines or North Potter or something, and I got under the house, and he kept me under there all, hell, down near 10 or 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get in, and if he'd get in one way, I'd go out there.
You'd think about it. He was letting you think about it.
That was just an egg, and hell, it was really our egg, because they hadn't laid it on our land.
Well,
I'll never forget that.
Sometime, if you going through your papers, if you find the abstract,
I'll look for them. If you want that abstract,
oh, I would, because
I don't want it, and no, I got the abstract. I know for the North Potter Ranch that we had there.
But you see,
where'd you get this book? This is different than the one I had.
Mine is Centennial History. That was written in 1910 or 11.
I might have this book.
I think you do.
Well, George Benson had, and then we got it from George. I'll bet you. What page is that?
This book is mixed up. It jumps. They've got to put it together wrong. And it goes along in a certain place, then it drops over and takes
I never knew that my dad had anything in there.
Well, you didn't look in that index. You look in the index.
I never looked in the index of everybody. I tried to find out. I found some stuff there about Alec Jones and stuff like that. I got three volumes. You got three volumes?
I got three volumes.
So that's what I got. It's just the same as this.
I imagine so.
Since I looked at that.
Let's see. This is about Wait a minute. Let's see what year it was published.
Somebody wrote that and sold all these old timers from, because George Besson had it, and we got it from George. And George died while Dick gave it to us.
Well, good.
I know there's a lot in there about Wright and Modine's and all that.
Yeah, Tom Wright's in this one.
Yeah. If I haven't got that in my book, well, I'll borrow this or come over and sit on the back porch and read it.
You don't need to sit on the back porch. Come in the halls.
Are you going to be like Joe DeLuce?
What?
Well, once I went down there, he called me up and said I had a couple of cows, and I had a lunch and a sandwich in my pocket, and I ate it under a tree out before I got to his house.
Mm-hmm.
When I got up to the house to ask him, and he says, come in to have something to eat. And I said, I just ate my lunch out there under the tree, and he sure gave me hell.
Why?
He says, when you're here on my land, he says, you eat at our house.
Lish Wright and W.T. Wright are both in this book. And Charlie Davis, C.E. Davis, it is, Charles Elliott Davis, and G.F. Hall. They're all in the same book. Now you go and look. The index is in the back.
I will. Well, them too.
The index is in the back.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I will.
Volume 3.
I will. That's volume.
Volume 3.
Yeah, volume 3, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bet
you got it. I know volume 1 is a lot of the stuff that in there about people that come here before in more Willamette Valley and a lot of stuff.
Well, here's where it tells about Charles Elliott Davis. Is a member that of the well-known firm of Davis Brothers, owners and proprietors of a Mountain View stock farm located near North Powder, Oregon, on the North Powder River, where
that was Lon and Ed
and Charlie.
Lon and Ed and Charlie.
All right.
And then Lon and Charlie bought Ed out. And
that's right.
He went to work for the land bank or land
land.
In the Grand, and then in 1909 or something like that, he moved to California down to Aunt Mary.
I went over to the courthouse one time to find out about it, because he had direct association with the United States government, and the safe in the LeGrand courthouse has Ed W. Davis's name on the safe.
Has it? I know where that house is.
What?
I know where that house is he lived in.
Well, sure.
Ed, the one that Ed lived in.
Oh, sure. We
I mean in the Grand.
Oh, well, I don't know where
They painted it different and changed it a little, but it looks a lot. That's all right. It looks a lot. I don't need it.
Now,
it's right close to where Boney Camps and all them houses are.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway.
It's a big square house. Because
mm-hmm.
I used to go there and when Vernon was going to school, and Ed was he was an elk, and we'd go down and swim in the elk pool, and then we'd play with the Boney Camps and the Currys and the Carpies, and
that's right.
About the second day we'd get in a fight, and I'd walk home. I'd done that several times.
Well, anyway. Then here talks about Jarvis Davis right here. It goes into that.
Yeah.
See, Charlie Davis first, and then goes back here to Jarvis Davis.
I'll sure. I think volume 3 is down in the basement. I'll bring it up.
Well,
I got one of them upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
but I know it's the same as this now after I looked at the mm-hmm. back of it.
Well, you'll just find.
I never knew he was in it.
Well. You learned a lot by coming over here today.
I'm learning something today, anyhow.
Well, then you do something for me. You see if you can find an old abstract or something that tells about the same thing that I want to know here about the Ainsworth. but that they bought the Hall Brothers bought that from Ainsworth, and it was from the Ainsworth, the Ainsworth Bank in Portland.
Yeah, Ainsworth was the president of the
bank.
The bank there in Portland.
That's right.
He used to come up here to the stock show when the stock show first started, and Dave Cooper had worked for Ainsworth in Portland.
Had he?
And they'd make a special train, two or three cars, and come up here and park on the over here by the old mill, for the stock show.
Yeah, it was right down.
That was when it first started.
On the sidetrack, used to be down just about to go as far as Neil Morrison's house is now.
Some place in there.
Because I remember one time when a bunch of Catholics came here before. The Methodists threw the old white church down by the fire department, by City Hall. And when the Catholics were arranging to take over our church before we built the brick church.
That was the Methodist church down there where the Catholics.
And my mother's father was one of the main ones that built that.
Well, see, we got the thing like the store.
He was one of the millers. Both of you. That came from Switzerland. But anyway, you find this, and you find Uncle Charlie.
I'll find it. I'll sure look it up this afternoon.
Okay. That'll be good. That'll keep you awake.
Well, I didn't know it was in there. I didn't have any idea it was in there. Of course, I never looked all through that index and stuff.
What have you been doing all these years?
I had something else to do. I had to make a living.
Oh, piss that.
That's right. And I got it, and I can't enjoy
it.
Have you got everything under control?
Oh, I can
go to sleep.
No, he's over here.
You see, I've got a book that tells all about his father, and he didn't even know it before.
Oh, dear.
Why, he says, I've got one of those down in my basement over there, but I've never looked at it.
Well, we did pretty well, I guess.
Did you?
If we didn't get it all, can we do it again?
Sure.
All right.
I guess you just want somebody to look at it.
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty Feet discovers the North Pole. She read it to I think she was lonely.
That could have been.
If you leave this with me,
I wish I had that story. You know, I've been getting these dime novels down to Crowder's or someplace down here town. They used to have them dime novels of cowboys and robbers that stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's the Crowder.
I used to get them and go up behind the barn and read them, but my mother wouldn't let me have them.
That's
the reason I wrote that story. It was a hell of 30 feet. He went down in the hole and he went down through and finally ended up, well, it went on for on and on. Finally ended up at the North Pole.
That was Pretty Pete, was it?
Pretty Pete.
And you've had that nickname ever since?
Ever since.
And that was in high school?
First year, maybe the 8th grade.
Oh, my life. How far was the high school
maybe the
teacher?
First year in high school or
she
the first
was
grade.
Was a high school. Okay. Well, we'll just have to get a story about that.
I think Miss Laughlin was a teacher.
Sure, Florence Laughlin, sure.
And, Sheets was your teacher.
Well, I was in 6th grade then.
But he taught the 6th or 7th grade.
Well,
he taught the sixth grade for 3 years.
I went to Gilfillan out here.
Yes, but listen, Gilfillan was in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
She was in 3, 5, 7. We went to the high school. And
the first grade I went over here. And then I went to Mrs. Biddle and
Emma Biddle.
And maybe Nora
Webb.
And I remember my first teacher was her name was Miss Peachy.
Petrie.
Sure. Like that. I always call her Peachy. She's a pretty little thing, remember? You want to remember her, Elmer.
Why, sure.
Yeah, and Miss Emma Thompson, she taught the second grade, I think. Some old cranky girl taught the third. Fourth was Nora Webb, and fifth was
Sarah Gilfillan. I'll tell you who the sarcastic old lady was. She was Mrs. Frank Dibble's aunt. And her name
was a little bit old. She was a cranky old thing.
Yes, she was.
I remember once, you remember Stanley Shaw? Some reason she didn't like him, she tried to shake Stanley up. She grabbed him and tried to shake him, and Stanley was bigger than she was then. Pretty strong boy. She couldn't budge him, he just laughed at her. She just went dingy crazy. But Stanley quit school and never went back to school after that.
Huh.
I don't think unless he went someplace else.
Well, Pete, you ought to be able to think of some favorite stories about down on the ranch.
Well, I can tell you lots of stories and things happened. Some of them wouldn't be fit to print.
Well, I'll bet they would. How many years were you and RB out there? A lot of years.
I went there in 24 and RB come in 30.
I see.
He graduated out of the University of Oregon, or California, and he came there and joined me in 30.
And you went there
in... We were there ever since.
What year was it? Was he on the boat, either going to San Francisco, either going to Oakland, or coming back when the boat was wrecked and he was in the water?
Pretty much.
He was in a boat wreck, out on the ocean, when he was a student at Harvard.
RB was?
No, yes. He was published the college newspaper.
Yeah, he was a...
He was learning to be a reporter of the
Daily California.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
And after that, he went to work for the Sacramento Bee for a while.
I don't know about that, but I know about him publishing the paper.
He was one of the editor or something.
That's right.
The Daily California.
And you know, was it a saxophone he used to play?
What?
A saxophone. Did he play a saxophone? Anyway, he had a horn.
Yeah.
That he lost in the water, and he was trying to...
Well, he lost it on Alaska. And Alaska sank out of...
That's right.
On that reef out there by Eureka.
That's right.
And he had a camera, a brand new camera, that we had quite a garden over there, and we saw... get this stuff and sell it to Davy Jones, and Davy Jones would take it to North Powder.
Yeah.
And they took that money that we got from Davy Jones and bought a brand new Kodak.
Uh-huh.
And RV took it to going back to college and it's down in Humboldt Bay there or someplace, I guess. Because I don't think they ever brought that ship out. There's 22 people drowned on there.
That's right.
One girl from the Grand. I don't know what her name was.
I don't either, but I've heard my mother tell about it a lot of times. Well,
I've got a lot of stuff on that. Have you had the clippings and a book?
Sure.
But your neighbor over here got it, if you could borrow it from
Who's
her.
Who's that, Ralph Taylor?
No. Ray.
Oh, you.
She got it. I took it over to Valley View there to show it to RV there. He wanted to show it to somebody, and I got...
You say Marie has it?
She sprayed somebody to seal it, and she brought it home.
Oh.
If you could get it, there's some pretty interesting stories there about that wreck.
Well, what do you know about that?
Well, he was in the water, I don't know how long there, and then he finally...
A long time.
He could swim, and then he got in a boat, and finally found a boat, he got in that boat, he was the first one in it, and they picked up 30-something people swimming around.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pete, I hear you had another nickname once. Were you called Chicken?
Yes.
Chicken. Is there a good story about that? Dad had a nickname of Spike, and I don't know how he got that name. How come you got called Chicken?
Does that want me to really tell you?
Well, I don't know. Is it a story you want to tell? If it's decent, go ahead.
Well, that's when I was going to college down there at Oregon State.
Uh-huh.
Ralph Chenault, Lee's brother. Fortunately, he knew Ralph or not.
No.
Well, he was going to college the same time you did down to Oregon State. But we went to Foreman and mucking around and...
Well,
he introduced me to a girlfriend of his, and she came up and said, "Oh, hi, hello, Chicken," and threw her arms around my neck, and he called me Chicken down that college.
I never knew how he got that. What was his name?
Ralph.
Well, what was the other
Chenault
over here?
They called him Shorty down at college. He was about 6'6".
Yeah.
Was he a big tall guy?
Was he a football player?
Yeah, he played tackle on the Oregon State team there with Dewey and them guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, why did she call you Chicken? Just because that was a pet name?
Well, she came up and says, "Hello, Chicken," and hugged me.
I see. And they called you Chicken at school then?
Martin. Yes, that was the name down there for 3 years.
Tell me what kind of a horn was it? Did Richard play a saxophone?
That was called Friday, too.
Saxophone. Melody C.
Okay. Now tell me, how come Dad was called Spike? Do you know that story?
They called him Spike because he looked like a spike.
Was he tall and skinny?
Fraternity brother.
He was tall and skinny, and he went up to a spike.
He did, huh? Well, you know one time I...
Did you tell you his was named Chicken?
Yeah.
Well...
That's what they called him, Spike, down there. That's what he went by all the time.
I see.
And I guess, I knew some of them guys was in his fraternity, the Kappa Psi or whatever.
No, Kappa Sigma.
Sigma, yeah, or something. I went over there a lot of times. No, that way he's one of them kills there, and a guy around the theater in the ground. Years was in that fraternity.
Don Myers?
Yeah. You know, the guy who runs the arcade theater there in the Grand Prix.
Was that Don Myers?
Yeah, I think so.
What? Well, I don't suppose you boys had any escapades down at college, did you? No. You were just good, hard working students. Yes.
They said in the contest that I was the one that most likely to not succeed.
Pete. That's what the professor said? My gosh. You didn't know what a maverick we had in the
back. Who was the dean of agriculture then?
Who's the dean of agriculture when you were in college?
What?
Who was the dean of agriculture when you were in college?
Crosby or... I'll think of it after a while. Anyhow, I down there, the one that was teaching chemistry and English, I didn't have enough English. And
you mean the dean of all
agriculture? I went to him and I said, "I guess I'm going home." And he said, "What are you going home for?" That's the first year I was there. He said, I said, "Hell, they want me to take this English." And he just took his pencil and scratched out English and so some of that stuff on there, and everything was all right after that. You remember him?
No. Oh yeah, let's see, there was...
It comes through here after a while.
Yeah, this one was crops, cars, was that irrigation. Water was animal husbandry. Who are you thinking about? I can't think this.
Well, old Nelson was there and bought sheep, and he down there kicked us out of class, was chewing the back of his class. He and another guy.
Yeah.
Old father, he was a...
Potter Nelson, and Nelson was sheep, Potter was cattle, Dick was horses.
Yeah, and then some guy had the hogs, I forget his name.
Hislop was crops. I always liked Hislop. He used to come up to experiment station a lot.
You know, we were talking about the fellow that used to come up here at the stock show, J.D. Farrell, that had the jumping horse. Do you remember J.D. Farrell from the OWRN, from the college? They're showing. That's the famous jumping horse that he used to come to the stock show. J.D. Farrell, does that ring a bell?
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dave Cooper was the instigator of that. Dave used to work in that bank when he come from Scotland.
This is right.
And he was with the Bank of Scotland or something. And he worked in that First National Bank or something in Portland. When they come up here, them guys organized that train every stock show and come on a special train there for two or three different years, maybe more.
He got to be Mick Levy's stable boy.
Yeah, he's Mick Levy's stable boy. He just lost...
That's a horse.
He lost faith in something there down in Portland. I don't know what it was. Dave was smart. He was well educated.
Oh, yes.
Well, God, I remember my mother used to go to him and make these little playing cards, you know, just he'd make the calling cards.